the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Golf Podcast, presented as always by Golficity. This is episode number 247. And today we're going to talk about a couple ways that you can break 100 for the first time. We've got a lot of listeners as well as viewers on YouTube who are new to the game, just discovering it. So this is going to be one that's going to be big for you. But if that is a milestone that you've already blown past, do not worry. Trust me, the tips we're going to talk about here is something in there for everybody, no matter what your skill level is. Even if some of it serves as a refresher, we're going to talk about it because it's going to be in there. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to step it up a notch. We're going to talk about ways to break 90 for the first time. So I'm excited for these topics. But like I said, no matter where you are on the spectrum, we've got a little bit of something in there for everyone, right, Mike?
Yeah, there's always things to learn, and I'm excited to break 80. I know you've broken it once. You know, you've had the old, what was it, 77?
77 is my record low.
Yeah, so absolutely, man. These are all great things coming, so definitely stay tuned. But let's, you know, before we dive in, we got a lot going on at Golficity. I want to talk about some things, some giveaways, some things that are coming up for the podcast, for the vlog. But let's do a quick word from our sponsor. So this episode is sponsored by ShotScope. Listen, you could still get that ShotScope V2 watch for $189. This system is the only GPS watch on the market that combines GPS distances, greens, and hazards with automatic performance tracking for under $200. I mean, listen, this is the off season for a lot of us. So this is the time to identify. I mean, you want to identify the strengths and work on them. And the ShotScope can help you identify the strengths, identify the weaknesses of your golf game. There's 40,000 courses on this thing, you know, and once you purchase, you could join this cool thing. I love it. We talk about it a lot. The Golficity leaderboard. We're going to be doing monthly prizes starting in 2019. So check it out. Get it while it lasts. The deal, $60 off of V2. Visit shotscope.com/Golficity or just use the coupon code Golficity.
And I've been loving seeing everybody in the Facebook group who have been scooping it up because I don't know how long that price is going to last.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
It's a smart play. If you're on the fence, now's the time to get it. But anyway, anybody who has gotten in, we'll see you guys on the leaderboards, and we'll be calling out some of our top performers here on the podcast. We've got a lot to talk about. One big thing too, our Vessel bag giveaway. If you guys saw that video just a couple weeks ago on YouTube, there's still time to enter. So very easy, free to enter. Make sure you guys get involved because we are psyched to give that bag away.
Yep.
Man, that thing is a beauty. That Sunday bag. Mm-hmm. And the black and the white. It just looks so good. I've been loving mine. Speaking of which, the other thing we did, we just dropped your What's in the Bag segment on YouTube the other day. And that was a lot of fun. We did the premiere. That was our first premiere.
I had so much fun with that, and it got a lot of love. So thank you for all of you who've reached out on Twitter. Some of you shot me some private messages, DMs, and emails just saying, hey, I love the What's in the Bag, and really just, you know, kind of giving us support about these videos. So we appreciate that. Frank, yours is dropping next week. I'm excited for that one too. You know, because we have the follow-up. You know, you and I, we've gone through a complete upgrade, I mean, throughout. And we've talked about it throughout the year. You know, every time we got something new, we either did a video about it or we talked about it here on the show. So, you know, it was cool to kind of bring it to life for everyone.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned that in my segment too. I said this is actually what I consider like my first real legitimate, like well thought out, you know, bag. You know, I had always been kind of a piecemeal thing where as I got different clubs, I put them in there, but I feel like it was never thought out well enough. And I think that was the great part of the fitting was that there was a lot of thought that went into it. So we go over that and we discuss that in each one of our What's in the Bag segments. But that one was definitely something that we did for you guys because a lot of you had asked in the comments. It felt like almost every video we dropped on there, you guys, they were saying, you know, when are you going to do a What's in the Bag? And we're like, you know what, let's do it now before the season comes to an end.
Yeah, you know, looking back at your video, you know, before it launches, you know, as it's going through editing, you mentioned that $99 driver. It was a divot.com. You want that thing. And it's so relatable because a lot of us out there, we're buying these deal things and we don't know if they're right for our game. And you could see that this is where we started. And then eventually we improved and we started upgrading our equipment. So, you know, you could see the whole transition.
Yeah, no doubt. And
that's right.
It is true. I mean, back when I was very unsure of my driver, thinking about breaking 100, I had no confidence in it. And I was like, you know, I know I need one in the bag, but what am I going to invest money for at this point? You know, I just, at that point, I just went and bought a 1 day deal site. It was cheap. And it, you know, I know it was a piece of garbage. And I know that because even when we did the fitting, down at, where were we? Golf and Body. Remember they were kind of laughing at it. And I was like, I know, but like that, I never was under any illusion that it was a good club. I just said, I just needed something so I could just work on my driver swing. And then I wanted to make sure I got that a little bit more in tune before I upgraded. And then I feel like it just happened at the perfect time. This season being able to upgrade the whole bag was terrific. So I'm excited to share that with everybody in the What's in the Bag segment. And I'm going to do the same thing as Mike. I'm going to take over the comments on YouTube. We're going to do a premiere. So look out for that. You can get the notifications if you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. And then what I'll do is I'll hop in there and I'll try to answer as many of you guys' questions as I can, during that premiere. And then if you have questions afterwards, leave them in the comments or tweet at me or whatever. And I'll try to get back with you. Speaking of YouTube, the other thing that we're going to be doing, we're bringing back the live stream. I don't know how often we're going to be able to do it, but whenever we get the opportunity, we're going to bring it back. And for those of you who remember last year, we were doing a weekly live segment on Facebook. But that with the podcast, it get to be a little bit much to try to pull off every week, but we had fun with the live was always fun. You know, I think we can agree there.
No, it was great. And, you know, it's funny because we've done them all remotely. You were at your location. I was at my location. Right. And this first one we're going to do, we're going to launch it for the first time on the YouTube channel. We did it on Facebook last time, but on the YouTube channel, we're going to be sitting right next to each other. So it should be a fun one.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a different platform, but I am looking forward to that. So that should be fun to do. So make sure, like I said, you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel too. I know a lot of you are listening to the podcast through whatever, you know, Spotify or iTunes or wherever, but we are putting the podcast on YouTube now, and we want to be able to do a little bit more face to face there. Speaking of which, the other big milestone we have coming up, the 250th episode.
I can't believe that.
I know. You know, every time we hit these big milestones, I remember 100, 200, we say like, wow, you know, it's just like, after week for 5 years, you know.
Dude, we've been consistent. Pat yourself on the back. I mean, it's funny. I went back the other day and I was on some of the older episodes on YouTube, and just to see what we look like, you know, way back when, you know, when we were doing the side by side, just like we're doing it now. It blows my mind. And some of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, way back, you know, we were not breaking 100 in the way beginning. You know what I mean?
True. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's great, man. 5.5 years later.
And that's been the fun part of this whole thing, not being instructors, not being guys who are in any way like coaching professionals or anything, just by learning the game and like really investing as much of our lives as possible in that process, and then using this platform to kind of let everybody know what worked for us and some of the tips that have helped us. And then just seeing, and when we see that response, when it's helped other people, and we've seen people from all over the world, like, I mean, literally on the other side of the world, like places like Australia and stuff like that, where we get these messages or notes in the Facebook group or wherever, where somebody says that this helped me. I mean, that's the most uplifting thing for me, because I feel like, you know, it's not my job in any way to teach or anything like that. I'm not trained in it. But just knowing that by sharing something that worked for us has helped somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about to me.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I couldn't agree anymore. And you know, back on that live feed, I wanted to just, I don't think you mentioned this. We're going to be announcing not only the winner of the bag, but we have another huge announcement. That's on that, right?
That's right.
So we're going to reveal that vlog destination that we have been teasing for the past few weeks.
A travel vlog, yep.
The travel vlog, everyone's been kind of messaging saying, where is it? Someone the other day said, is there a passport required? I wasn't given anything back. You know, someone, is it Pebble Beach? Is it, you know, Whistling Straits? You know, well, we got you. We're going to announce it on that December 14th live stream. So vessel bag giveaway, the vlog travel announcement, those are going to be huge.
Yeah.
The other thing, Frank, on the 250th episode, we're going to be doing something different for that, something fun.
Yes.
So what we're going to do here, I'm excited about this. We're going to do this together in the same room, in the same podcast booth, so to speak. And why that's so important is 250 episodes. I think we've recorded, I want to say 2, 3, maybe 5 together.
Face to face? Yeah, I would say, about that. Maybe five or six episodes.
You know, and some of them were just like on location at the Barclays, Northern Trust, you know, some of the PGA Tour events. We did the one in Orlando for Bay Hill in the hotel room. There wasn't many at a 250. So nope. It's going to be fun. We're going to do it, but we're going to film it, and we're going to bring the whole thing live to you on YouTube as well, of both of us in the room. We're going to do the whole story of Golficity, how it started, where we're planning on taking this thing, and all this good stuff. So you guys kind of asked for it, and we're going to deliver.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be more laid back. Like you said, we're going to show you a little bit behind the scenes, getting set up, getting things like that. And then it is funny that what we chatted about a little bit here before we started recording, we were saying in 250 episodes, I don't think we've really gone too much in depth as far as the backstory of us getting
started.
You know, we've told you guys a little bit about, you know, how we came up with the idea to start doing this, and we mentioned it here and there, but we haven't really dove into it. And I'm sure what we'll do is maybe we'll do another question segment. Maybe we'll post that in the Facebook group and answer some of those on that episode as well. But we'll use that to kind of just kind of recap the last 250. Talk about where we came from and where we're going. Maybe we'll talk about some of the concepts and ideas we have for the next 250 going forward.
You think we get to 500, man?
I know we'll get to 500.
I want to do 500 somewhere special, on location, somewhere special. It's going to be like 5 years from now, but I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Yeah. That one's going to be a big deal.
All right. So that's huge, but this is great too. So I am looking forward to it.
I tell you what, let's do a quick word from our sponsor, and then let's dive into this week's instruction segment.
Yeah, so this episode is sponsored by Titleist. So with the season winding down, make sure you put the TS driver and the fairway metals on your wish list this holiday season, or at least make a point to go hit them at your local golf store or even your local Titleist fitter.
Yeah, and look, guys like Charles Howell and what he just did on tour by switching over, it's really been great for our game. So we're seeing that it happening and working for people of all different levels. You got to go out there. You got to check out that thin face technology. And as Mike said, you can test the TS drivers out free at any Titleist fitting center, or any local golf store. Just give yourself that gift of distance and forgiveness this holiday season. Visit Titleist.com to learn more about the TS line, and the four awesome stock shafts that they have. They're all amazing. You've heard us talk about it every single week about how well it's performing for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. Get out there, try it for yourself, and let us know how it goes. Also, before we dive into tonight's topic, we want to thank wizardpins.com. They're the easiest way to create custom pins with your logo or design. Wizard Pins can create pins of any size or shape for any occasion, and their excellent customer service team will help you select the style that's best for you.
You know what? And it's not just pins, which I just realized. You know, they do custom cufflinks, and I'm thinking
you love cufflinks too.
I wear them. You know, I wear them a lot. Yep. So I'm thinking those Green G cufflinks. You know, they may be right in time for our 10,000 YouTube subscriber giveaway. I don't know. Maybe we could do that. But no, definitely check it out. There's no quotes, hassle, no hidden fees. The prices are right there on their website. There's free shipping, fast turnaround. Sometimes things are made in like 2 days. It's amazing. So head over to wizardpins.com. Enter the code GOLF to get 20% off your first order. That's GOLF for 20% off your first order at wizardpins.com.
All right, so I'm excited to talk about this topic. And first, let me just preemptively apologize. I'm a little under the weather. I'm going to try not to cough in everybody's ears. I got this nice big thing of hot water and lemon and I don't even know, honey or something my wife whipped up for me to help me get through out, not coughing into the microphone all night. But I'm excited for this one because, as Mike said earlier, you know, we've been there. It is not that long ago that I feel like you and I were in this very position where we were just working to break 100. And I think that's something that it's an important milestone because I feel like a lot of guys, you know, you get there at different speeds. There's some people who pick up the game a little bit more naturally than others. Some get there very quickly. Some people struggle for a long time before they're able to get to that milestone. But once you do, and once you start break 100, you know, you really feel like that's when you're really taking to the game, so to speak. And the reality is there's no sugarcoating it. This is a difficult game. And I think that's part of why so many of us love it. I think if it was easy, I wouldn't enjoy it as much as I do. I love the challenge. I love the fact that I'm not going to go out there and play terrific every time. And there's still times now in, you know, really bad days, I may flirt with 100 on a very difficult course. I mean, that's the reality. So it can be difficult. You can have these ebbs and flows. But there are ways to get there, you know, One way is listening to this podcast every week, because we try to give you guys as much as we can to help get you there. But there are ways you can do it. I think patience is going to be a real key here. You have to, you know, give yourself time to adapt and learn the game. I think I hate to see it where you have a situation where someone picks up the game and is frustrated by how difficult it is, you know, on the surface, and then just quits too soon, because I feel like you're selling right. yourself short. You know, you're not getting to enjoy the full breadth of the game. So you just understand, if you're first taking up the game, you're going to have to give yourself some time. It's going to take time, but if you enjoy and if you find love in the process of learning to play this game, you will forever, be able to, you know, move through it without having those overly frustrated, like, I quit the game. You know, you see on Instagram guys throwing their clubs in a lake. You won't have that, because you'll realize that there's no ever mastering this game. And don't forget, just 100 or 90 or whatever they are, they're just kind of imaginary numbers in our mind of where we want to be. But the reality is the game will never be mastered. You're always going to have these ups and downs. So if you can just find a way to embrace that challenge of always learning and always chasing better, I think that can be a more rewarding experience than any just number written on the card.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I love what you said about it. You wouldn't enjoy the game if it was easier. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, someone in my family at Thanksgiving last week, they asked me, why do you love golf so much? I mean, how can you play that game? And my answer is because it's hard. Yeah. And I love it, you know, and I'm away from life for 5 hours, and I'm out in nature on a beautiful golf course. I mean, there's so many things other than, you know, the challenge, but you know, you're right. A lot of people do get frustrated with this game very quickly. And for those of us out there who have broken 100 or broken 90, maybe you're scratch. Another way this can be helpful is if you're trying to get somebody else, I think, into the game. Like, I'm trying to get my wife into the game because, you know, she sees me playing, she sees my daughter playing, and she, you know, she gets a little jealous and she wants to come out there and she wants to swing. So, you know, I'm trying to work through that frustration part. And, you know, right now we're not even talking about scores, but, you know, for those of you who are starting off, maybe scores isn't where you start, but for those of you who want to start and really break 100, because like you just said, when you break 100, it feels like now you're really part of this game and you're on a mission. I totally felt that way when I broke 100.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think anybody who like doesn't grasp that concept of how you could play as often as you do, how you can enjoy it. I think what they're missing out on, and it's unfortunate, I think it's to their own detriment, what they're missing out on is the nuances of the game. It's a lot like, you know, I'm not big into like racing, right? But you hear sometimes people say, like, how do you watch racing? How do you watch guys go around in a circle for 2 hours or whatever? And it's because I think when people say that, they're just oversimplifying. You're missing all the nuances. There's so many nuances that happen in an event like that. So many little things that go on and so many little calculations and strategy and stuff like that. And I think golf is similar in a lot of ways. There's so much that changes. And golf too, I mean, don't forget, it's one of the only sports where the actual, you know, the venue on which you're playing is what changes constantly too.
That's right.
You know, it's not like the basketball court is the same everywhere. You know, there's some variances in grasses and things when it comes to like soccer or football, but it's still the same dimensions. It's all that type of stuff. But with golf, it's changing. And so it's ever evolving in a lot of different ways. So I think that there's endless ways that you can enjoy it. But, let's see if we can get you guys there. And let's see if we can get you to break that 100 for the first time. And if you do, and if it's your first time, we want to hear about it. You know, make sure you mention it in the Facebook group, which you can get to just by searching Golf Vicity or the Golf Podcast on Facebook. You'll see our group there. It's free group. Join in and hugely. I'm hugely a fan of what we have going on in that group. There's so many very supportive people in there. Love hearing from each other as far as milestones and stuff like that. So if, you know, whatever your milestone, post it there and let us know about it. So, okay, let's talk about, and there's a million different things that you can do. And we could talk about this for the next couple hours and not get through the whole thing. So we want to highlight just five things. I like to keep it as simple as possible. So the first thing is put down the driver. And when I say that, understand here, I am specifically speaking to people who are just working on breaking 100 for the first time, because I am not a fan of saying like, take the driver completely out of the bag forever. I think the game can be learned in stages. I think the driver is probably the hardest thing to learn because, you know, being the longest club and things like that, there's a lot of variables involved there, and it's a fine art learning that club in general. But if you're just first struggling to crack 100, I think that's also a lot of people who are very new to the game. The driver is also the flashiest part of it. So that's what you want to learn the quickest. But I think that's also, it kind of sets you back in a way because you're also setting yourself up for one of the biggest challenges. So here in these situations, we see a lot of times with these much higher handicappers or much newer golfers, a lot of times the driver kind of does more harm than good. And when you hear a lot of people talk about when they first clicked, when they started really learning about the game, or they often it's times people talking about that they learned it from somebody else who's more experienced, is when they start to learn things like this idea of minimizing risk, you know, risk versus return, or minimizing the ways that you can kind of get hurt out there. Right. And driver's a big way because you're hitting the ball a long way. A lot of things come into play, OB, stuff like that. So if you're working to break 100 for the first time, one of your biggest jobs that I think you should focus on, this is what I worked on focusing on, I'm still working on focusing on, is just keeping the ball in play. You'd be surprised at how much of the higher scores that we see is often because of things like lost balls, or even if the ball is not completely lost, and we're not talking about a penalty here, we're talking about setting yourself in situations where you can't get a clean shot on the ball for your second shot, and you're having to punch out from under a tree or whatever it may be. So if you can just work on just avoiding those hazards or lost balls, you'd be surprised at how that translates to the card. Even if it takes you on a par four, let's say, even if it takes you six strokes to reach the green because you don't have your distance yet, as long as you kept that ball in play and kept it moving, here's a situation where you're on the green in six and you can get out of there, you know, with maybe a seven or an eight, and then just keep moving on. But, you know, and then over time that'll shorten. But if all of a sudden you're driving the ball in the woods, then you got to re-tee, you're hitting three off the tee, and then the second one goes under a tree, and you're all over the place. If you could just kind of minimize that and just keep it moving. And I've used this example before. I've talked about back when I played high school golf, there was one kid who could swing out of his shoes and with whatever club he had, and I'd never see him hit that ball more than 150 yards. But he beat up on all of us because he hit it pin straight, 150 yards, and it may take him two shots to get to your drive, but his third shot was always right on the green. And he was putting for par, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Whereas we were all over the place, right? And we learned this when we played our three club challenge, which I would love for us to revisit, Mike.
Yeah, I would love to do that too.
I think that's something we redo at some point because that was a lot of fun. Sure. But when we did that and we took like the driver out of the bag and we were hitting a lot more seven irons, I want to do a one club challenge sometime. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we realized, well, I'm not hitting the ball nearly as far, but the ball's staying in play because I'm pretty confident that I could hit my seven iron, you know, 160, you know, pretty much every time. And then, boom, right. It works. And all of a sudden the score reflects it. But again, I am not saying that everyone should go out and sell their driver. I think that the proper thing to do is when you're out there playing, minimize risk and then realize what the holes in your game are. Here, driver most likely is a big one. And then go to the range and work on that. Work on it with a swing coach. Work on it, however, and get to the point where your driver doesn't become a liability and it becomes a weapon. That's when things really start to change down the line. Right. But for now, so you could step by step.
Yeah, you nailed it. I actually had one hole. You probably remember this. It wasn't too long ago. I went one pretty much whole season with peeping my driver in the bag and just hitting hybrid off the tee. And that actually learned a lot. I learned a lot about my golf game there. And that's when I actually started the transition, into different score areas, low 90s. And then I finally broke 80 for a while because I was learning how to use these clubs. And right to your point, I was keeping the ball in play more. So I had more opportunities to score better. I mean, it's the obvious thing and it's definitely worth a try for sure.
Yeah. And at that time, I was doing a very similar thing, hitting my three iron,
right.
You know, and the other thing too is I don't think you necessarily need to completely eliminate it. Maybe a good way to start this would just be take a look at the scorecard and just look for some of the shorter holes where you don't absolutely have to hit a driver. You know, I'm right. sure there's going to be some par fours out there where you can get away with hitting a hybrid or something like that off the tee and keep it in play a little bit more. And also it lends itself to saying, you know, it's not something that we talk about here, but it's maybe just a little side bonus tip is just make sure you're playing the right tees. You know, because sure. the other thing is if you don't have that distance and you're trying so hard to make up for it with your driver, maybe it's just time to move up and tease. And then remember, there's always time. This is a game that you could play for life. You stay healthy, more or less, you know, you could play this game forever. So by just understanding that, again, it goes back to the patience we talked about earlier. If you can just say, all right, I'm going to suck it up and play from the forward tees until I feel like I've got a handle on it. And then once I hit whatever milestone, I'm going to back it up and work your way back. I think that would be a huge thing. So I think if we can remove that stigma from playing other tees, you know, it's like sometimes you rib each other because you're like, oh man, you're playing the whites or whatever it may be.
Right, right.
But the reality is you want to have fun out there and you want to learn the game. And if you're, some of those tees, those far back tees, they're not even built for you at that level at that point. So
yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Anytime I play with buddies and they all go to the back tees, I've never said, "All right, guys, I'm gonna stick with the white tees." I've always just said, "All right, let's do it." You know, I mean, I feel like all of us have done that.
Of course, it's that kind of that peer pressure. But right. But who knows? You know. Yeah.
You and I did when we, anytime you and I play together, we always do it right, and we learned that from Pound Ridge and the whole Pete Dye explanation and playing the right tees for your handicap. Yeah. So that I like.
That was huge for us. And I loved what Pete Dye did at Pound Ridge, where all the tees were not your traditional, you know, blue, black, white, red. They were completely different and they were all based right there on your handicap. And and that's because he too, as a course designer, wanted you to enjoy the course the way it was meant to be enjoyed by having the challenges that he meant to have challenge you. And when you're so far back that you're not even, you know, bunkers and things aren't even in play. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Or some of the carries there, you just would never get over those carries if your game doesn't lend itself to it. So right. I think it's an important one. Another quick tip. I won't go too deep into this one. We have an article on this as well on Golficity, which I'll link to in the show notes. So if you want to dive in a little bit deeper, we can. But because we covered this so much in the last couple of weeks, I won't get too deep into it, but we've talked about before, making the low side your friend. And this is a strategy thing too. I like this because here we're talking about breaking 100. We're not reworking your swing. We're just talking about changing a little bit of a strategy. And what we're talking about here is try to get a read for that green before you go up to it. And try to stay on the low side, meaning that you're going to be putting uphill. If you can do that, you're going to be making a lot more putts. And as we know, a huge portion of the score happens on the dance floor. So if you were looking at just breaking these milestones, and whatever milestone that is in this case, it might be 90, it might be 80.
Right.
It's a smart play for anybody. It's a smart play for, you know, even PGA Tour pros are something that they're considering. They're looking to set themselves up for an uphill putt versus a downhill putt. And here too, even if you miss the green, right? If as long as you miss on the low side, now you've got an uphill chip instead of a scary downhill, slippery, fast chip. So I think that's an important one. You know, making that low side your friend, we're going to continue to drive that one home.
Well, you'll shave strokes for sure.
Exactly. Now, here's a question for you, Mike. You get out there. If you got whatever your milestone is, if it's 100, if it's mm-hmm. 90, if it's 80, whatever it is, you got that in your mind. You feel like you're playing a pretty decent round. Around that 15th, 16th hole, do you add it up? Are you adding the score up?
No, it's like talking to the pitcher during the no
hitter. Good, good. Yeah, that's the answer I wanted. Good. You stay away from it, right?
Right, right. I stay away from that. I think in general, any counting just makes it, just throws your mental game out of whack, because now that you're shifting your focus to something that you shouldn't be thinking about so much.
Right.
Right. I mean, we always talk about if you're going to count anything, you know, go out there and say 30 putts this round. I'm going to make sure I stay under 30. And then at the end go, oh, by the way, I shot an 81. Awesome. It should be like that, yeah. You know, but I don't think you should count anything out there. I mean, yeah, keep your score, but don't add it up. I mean, just put that's my take. take?
Look, I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, keep the score because we want to know. Mm-hmm. You can't hit a target that you don't know what it is. You gotta know what your score is. I like things like the shot scope. You know, it keeps my score for me without me interacting with it. But I still do. I still write the score on the scorecard. But what I don't do is start adding it up because it's not going to change anything. And in fact, all it's really going to do. And you can have a general idea in your mind of where you're at, but here's the thing. Let's say you're, you know, getting close to breaking 100. You're at that threshold and you do some quick math and you realize that if you could play the last four holes at four over par, you're going to get a 99. But once you start doing that, once you start doing these like what if scenarios and this adding it up, really, realistically, because you don't want to change your strategy, because whatever strategy you're using that day is clearly working. Mm-hmm. Because you're shooting one of your better rounds and you're close to hitting your target. All you've done at that point is add pressure to the situation.
Right.
And pressure is one of those things that we want to try to minimize when we're out there. And we talk about, we know pressure is going to happen. You know, it's a competitive sport. That's why we've talked about different ways that you can simulate pressure in your practice. So it becomes more familiar and it's less of a hindrance on you. But in this case, all you're really doing is that you're adding that pressure. So if you can just stay disciplined, just to stay and just stick with your game. Cause the other thing is, I don't like the idea of altering your strategy in any way. Sometimes you see people end up starting to play too conservative. How much have we seen this in other sports, Mike? You know, you see like a football, you know, you see somebody who's up by 20, 21 at the half. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden they don't do what got them there in the first half. They come out the second half and they play like on their heels. They play defensive or something like that.
Right. Their mental game shifted.
Yeah. You know, they change their strategy or, mm-hmm. We've seen it in golf too. We've seen guys who they've got the lead after through the Saturday round, and then Sunday they come out and all they're trying to do is just try to like make par or whatever they're trying to do, just to try to keep the lead. And someone, you know, sneaks up and overtakes them, because they changed what got them there. So I think when you all of a sudden change and you try to, you know, out of nowhere, just start playing much more conservative or much more aggressive, you get out of your strategy. I think the smart thing is to pick a strategy that you're going to go with and stick with it throughout your round and learn yep. from it. You may want to adapt your strategy going down the road, but don't change your strategy just because you've done some back of the napkin math and you think that you're getting close to where you need to be.
You know, for me, I mean, I go back to Sleepy Hollow, and I think it was like from the 13th hole to the 17th hole, I made four or five pars in a row, and I'm like, I'm onto some here. And then we strolled up to that thumbprint 16th par three, uh-huh. and I hit one short, and I remember getting up to that tee box. I said, hey, this could be the day where I could do some damage. And then I went double bogey, bogey, double bogey to end. And I'm like, ugh. Cause you know, my head started to go there, and you know,
and then that was it. When it does that, subconsciously, you start to change the way you're playing.
Exactly.
So yeah, so that's a tough one. Another thing that can kind of lead to that is when, and this goes back to kind of what you were saying earlier, Mike, when you try to adapt yourself to the people you're playing with. But mm-hmm. I think a key you need to learn early on in this game is to play your own game. Especially if you end up playing with golfers who are a little bit more accomplished and experienced than yourself, you may be tempted to try to keep up with them. And that's too, again, it's turns where you change you get out of your comfort level, you get out of your strategy, and you may try to like pound a drive off the tee in order to keep up with the group, or you might go for the green over water when you know that really that's not your best risk reward play. And for you, it might be better to lay up. But if you really want to prioritize that goal of breaking 100 for the first time, you need to put that ego aside, play a patient, smart game, play your game. Don't try to get caught up in the moment and try to do what everybody else is doing. I still think it's a massive benefit to play with people who are more experienced than you, because you can learn a lot from watching them, but don't try to be them in the moment. That's what I'm trying to say. And, mm-hmm. and trust me, I think everyone, when they play golf, is so concerned with their own game. They're really not. I think we overly put pressure on ourselves when we think we're like disappointing the group with us. As long as you're just keeping up with the pace of play, you play your game.
Right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Just because, let's say, I'm going for it, you know, in two on a par five, I don't expect that everybody in the group is going to go for it. You know, we'll all meet on the green. It may take one guy one or two more strokes than the other guys.
We'll all meet on the green. I like that.
Right, right.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So I'm saying is just play, don't let what other people are doing take you away from your strategy.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to help. Agreed. Because, and that's something that I see, it happens a lot with people at this level, that 100, because it happened a lot to me back then too. I tried to kind of match what everybody else was doing. Even going way back when I was playing in high school, similar type of thing. You know, when I'd be paired with some of the better guys, I would try to that day do what they were doing and emulate them. But then I realized that wasn't my game. You just got to play your game and it'll work for you, but it requires discipline. And it takes time. So just work on that and you'll see that it will help you. Another thing is adapting. Get used to adapting. One of the best challenges of golf, like we talked about right at the beginning of this segment, was that course conditions change. You know, golf rounds take a couple hours. There's things that are going to change. You're going to have changes in temperature. You may have winds that are picking up or whatever it may be. You may have rain or stuff like that to contend with. So you want to be able to adjust. You want to be able to adapt, but make sure it's on your terms. Again, it's not one of those situations where I want you changing your strategy subconsciously or whatever it may be. Here, it's just a matter of adapting. We talk about a good example being like a quarterback who is surveying the defense before running a play. And you got to sometimes be able to call an audible. It might be a shot that let's say that's a shot that you can normally could go for a green and reach, but it's soggy conditions or something like that. And especially on that particular hole, you know, we play a lot of these courses now with a lot of elevation changes, and you'll see one hole might be completely dry. And then, you know, another hole, it's right next to a mountain and there's runoff and the fairway is soaked. You got to be able to play smart, assess that lie, realize that you might have to adapt and don't attack everything with the exact same strategy. So I think that adapting is something that you want to learn early on. It's something that you learn from playing, because we go to the range, right? Especially as newer golfers, we go to the range a lot. We're working on our swing at that point. And the thing with the range is that everything is stagnant. You know, you're hitting off of, it's always a flat lie. You know, it's always, you know, sometimes it's a mat. It's very consistent. But then when you got on the course, you realize that that consistency goes away pretty quickly and you need to adapt. You need to adapt to different lies, uphill, downhill, side hill, wet, dry, tight lie, rough, whatever it may be. So this is something that comes with experience. You learn it, but as you learn and become able to adapt, you'll start to be able to score much better. So treat everything, again, instead of treating it as frustration, if you treat it as a learning experience, that's what I try to do. I used to get completely frustrated and make a million excuses. This is why my round went bad today. But now I'm like, all right, what can I learn from today's round? What can I learn from today's conditions? That's little mind shift, man. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, man. And I'm a scratch golfer. On the range,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, but you're right, dude. You do have to adapt out there. I mean, there are courses that I hate, and I go into them like, you know, but courses I love playing, but I should say they hate my golf game at least. Yeah. And we got to adapt, you know, look at courses like West Point, that's all hills, and Pound Ridge, you know, with some of the moguls out there and things like that. You're right. It's tough, man. It's a lot different out there. But if you can kind of get this sort of, if you can get in your own game, and this is kind of what I've done over the last 3 or 4 years, just really develop that feel in my short game, in my mid iron games, and really just got everything together, Frank. And you know, I think I took a long time to break 100. I'm sorry, it didn't take long to break 100, but it took a long time for me to break 90. And then after I broke 90, it just started getting easier and easier, and I'm getting so close with an 81 to breaking 80. But you know, it's just a matter of putting it all together. But yeah, man, some days it's tough out there.
That's it, and I think that's what you'll learn. You learn it when you learn that in this game, you turn a corner. And that thing is just like learning that, you know, the little slightly different thought process. And I think that the beginner's thought process, and something that I was as a beginner, was very similar to this. You know, you've got a 150 yard shot. You know, my 7 iron on the range is what I hit at my 150 yard target. So you just pull out your 7 iron and hit it. No matter what the lie is, no matter what, whatever. Then the difference when you start to become like more, you know, of a golfer in a way, somebody who's really, you know, thinking their way through it, you get an experience similar to what we had when we had that playing lesson with Kevin Sprecher. Now here, remember, he would stop us before we'd hit. And the thought that he would have on a shot just from looking at the lie was tremendous. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, okay, so that's slightly uphill. So that means the trajectory is going to be higher, right? And he'd come out all this off of the lie. And right. He'd be like, so here what you're going to want to do is change this club or move the ball to this position in your stance so that you have your center of gravity. Because where's your gravity going to go? And everything he said made sense and was all common sense. The fact is, we just weren't thinking about it.
Right.
And it forces you to think about it. And when you start to think like that, the game becomes a new game.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw absolutely that firsthand. Right. So there's a lot with it, but that's where, like I said, the beautiful little nuances of the game. When people say, and they want to understand like how you could, you know, love the game so much. And then I think that's because once they start to realize like the depth of it, in this case, that's when you start to really appreciate it.
Yeah. Totally.
And you'll start to score better. So anyway, those are five tips that I think could really help anybody out there who's chasing that milestone or really most milestones, because I think this, like I said, everything here is good fundamentals. We talk about it a lot. The PGA Tour pros, they're still working on fundamentals. There's no, they're not working any special trick out there. They're working on their fundamentals. They just happen to know a lot more of them, and they're able to repeat them a lot more often than we are. But, work on this. You guys will benefit from it. And if you have reached a milestone or if you're chasing one, let us know about it. Clearly, the fact that we've done almost 250 episodes, which I think when I put them all in one playlist on iTunes, it says like 2 or 3 days worth of you know, sound. So yeah. If we've talked that much about golf, clearly we enjoy talking about golf. So that's why I say I encourage you guys, post them in the Facebook group. We love to get like a little conversation going. I love to hear when people are chasing those milestones and kind of follow along with that progress. So for sure, share them. And like I said, if you want to get a little bit more in depth on this, we have that article. I'll link to that in the show notes, which you can get to by going to golficity.com/episode247, or you can get it in the Golficity app, which, as you guys know, is 100% free for Android and iOS. Just search Golficity on whichever platform you use. You'll see it there. And then in the show notes will be links to everything else we've talked about. Any of the deals from our sponsors or the links to the Facebook group, the, links to watch the podcast on YouTube. Anything you need is there. So you guys can find it all in one place. Anyway, that's everything we have in a couple episodes. We'll see you for the 250th episode. Hopefully we'll catch you guys on the live stream, and we'll be back again next week. See you then.